received in the mail just this week a plaque for 40 years of ministry. And it's caused me to look back over the years, amen, of the ministry. It's been great, amen, and it's going to continue to be great. And I just appreciate and love every one of you for being a part of my life. Praise God. Every one of you have got a special place in my heart, amen. And, you've been such a blessing to me and my family, amen, and all my grandkids, amen, especially the last two that are the last to leave. Amen. Praise God. It's good. Amen. I am going to, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to start I'm not sure what to call it, but it's going to be lessons, 12 or 15 lessons, and it's going to be based on the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelations. I wrote the first lesson, and the first lesson is how we got our Bible and who God is. And then the second lesson probably will be on creation. I haven't got to that one yet. But these will be done on an off night. And what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to be able to open this up for anyone, like some of our young people that are around maybe 14, 15 years old. And by the time I'm done, they'll have a general view of the whole Bible. And and anybody. Now, there are a lot of people that will not come to church, but they'll come to this. And if you get the Word of God in people, they'll want to live for God. That's my belief. And this first lesson, one of the things I'm dealing with is how we got our Bible, a thing they call the lost books of the Bible, and how that deals. I've been working on this for the last 6 months. So I got this all together. I thought of something today that I really needed to inject in there, and I forgot. I forget what it was now, but what I want to do is when somebody has completed this course and they will get a certificate, they will basically know everything that they need to know about the Bible. So if somebody says to them, how do we get our Bible, they will know. If they would say, where did our Bible come from, they would know. And if they was asked about the creation. Now, it's not an in-depth study, but it is a general study, because I'm telling you, when you get into our Bible and how we got our Bible and God and who He is, it can get really deep. But it'll be a general study. And so, praise the Lord. Pray with me on that. I have already five or six people that are saying I'm going to be there. And some of them are people that go to church. So it will be down in the basement, and we'll have some refreshments, and we would just have a 45-minute lesson. But the first lesson I've already written, and I'm pretty excited about who God is, the creation, or not creation, who God is and how we got our Bible. Amen. And some of the questions that people ask today. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Pray with me on it. Amen. I am really excited. It is kind of like Search for Truth on steroids, if you know anything about Search for Truth. It will be, and like I said, I've got people that now that are willing to come to it and will not come to church, but they will come to this, and they will have a general view of the whole Bible. And it's not a doctrinal thing, it is not a church attendance thing, but it's so that they will understand the Word. Alrighty, praise God. How many is excited about the Lord? Praise God. Amen. I want to talk to you today on the subject of three Hebrew children going through the fire. Daniel 3:3 says, then the princes and governors and captains and judges, treasurers and counselors and chiefs, and the ruler of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the akbet, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace." Think about that. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. So if you drop down to 13, it said, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before him." Now notice what they say. "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, It is true, O..." I'm sorry. "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true?" I'm sorry. "O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the image, golden image that I've set up. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the akbet, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye will fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God?" Now look what he says. It's very dangerous to attack God. People will attack you, that's one thing, but when they attack your God, that's another. Amen. Goliath did that with David. Praise God. And fiery furnace. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "O king," praise God, "O Nebuchadnezzar," said to the king, I'm sorry, "O Nebuchadnezzar, ye are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I want to talk to you today with the help of the Lord, praise God, the three Hebrew children going through the fiery furnace. Lord, we love you, God, and praise you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Help me, Lord, as I deliver it to your people. And God, I'm going to give you all the praise, glory, and honor in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Can everyone say amen? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. What if the actions would have been different? We know the story. It's in the pages of the Word of God. And God's Word is always settled in heaven. But what if those actions would have been different? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't the only Jewish Christians that was there. But a lot of these Christians, just like some in the New Testament, just fell down, worshipped him, got up, and went back to church. They would just fall down, worship him, and go through the ritual of worshiping him and let everybody think they were worshiping him, and then go back and to the church, or the Jewish people would go back to worshiping God. "Daddy, why are you falling down and worshiping this image?" "Son, it's something that we have to do because the king has ordered us to do it, and we're falling down and worshiping. I don't really believe that this is God. I don't really believe that this golden image is something that I need to worship, but I don't want to be in problems with the king, or I don't want to be, and if you don't mind, I'm going to call him Neb from now on instead of Nebuchadnezzar. Is that okay?" Amen. Saves me from going through that. We just don't really believe what Neb's doing, and so Can you imagine the way the story would have gone if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have done the same thing? Praise God. Could you imagine what the ending of the story would have been? I'm sure it would have been different, don't you? Amen. Or what if they could have been burnt up in the fire? What if they would have been burnt up in the fire? And it might have been in the pages of God's word. And they would have been martyrs. And they would have been burnt up in the fire. There were many different directions that this could have went. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't really concerned about the directions it would go. They were only concerned about doing the right thing. They left the results up to the Lord. Years ago, I struggled with the fact that in my ministry, I did not see the response that I wanted to see. I wasn't seeing the amount of souls saved that I thought should be saved. I wasn't seeing people living for the Lord like they should be living for the Lord until the Lord reminded me, I am not judging you upon your results, but I am judging you according to your obedience. You cannot judge Noah according to his results, and you cannot judge Moses according to his results, but what God judged them according to their obedience. And sometimes when we don't see come out of what we did, amen, we think that we can lesser ourselves and do more. There's an old saying, you can fake it till you make it. Praise God. And so what if things would have been different? What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have fell down and just said, you know, I'm just going to fall down and I'm going to look like it and we're just going to get by this. Praise God, but they didn't. Amen. We know them. They were Jewish people, Hebrew people, actually. And we know them, amen, by their names that was given to them by the Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We watch them in the Old Testament. And sometimes people think, well, the Old Testament was for the Old Testament people. And this is what I'm going to talk about in one of the studies that I'm going to do, and that is testament means will, and praise God. And it's the will of God for the people. The Old Testament was the old will for the people, and the New Testament was the new will for us today. There was a difference in salvation. The Old Testament was the tabernacle. The New Testament is the salvational message that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost. And it's not something that is taken away because, amen, it is the Old Testament was the foundation in which the New Testament was built on. And so when we look at the Old Testament, and it was the foundation, it is an example for us today. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he said, now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they were written for our admiration. Admiration, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Praise God. And so, amen, we can look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and apply that to our lives. Because even though we are not being thrown into the fiery furnace, every day we are challenged with things to weaken our walk with God. And to cause us, amen, not to take the stand that we need to take. Praise the Lord. It could be just, amen, not taking a stand against the wrong in your home. Or not taking a stand against the wrong in your area. I'm not saying that we need to get out there and just really slap people over the side of the head. But I think, praise God, when the situation arises, I think we need to be able to take a stand and say, you know, I really don't think like that. I really don't feel that that's right. I don't really don't feel that that's the right thing to do. Praise God. We need to let them know where we stand, at least, and the way we feel. And you love them, and you don't condemn them, but you don't condone them either. You know, that's not a problem. One day I was doing a home, and a guy was drinking a beer, and he found out I was a cop. Not a cop. He found out I was a preacher. Praise God. I don't know where that come from. Amen. Y'all didn't know I was undercover cop all these years, did you? He found out I was a preacher, and his response to me was, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be drinking a beer if I knew you was a preacher. And I said to him, I said, that got nothing to do between me and you. I said, that's totally between you and God. Don't worry about me. Amen. Well, that kind of shook him up even more. But, yeah, it's I don't condemn people, but I don't condone it either. I take a stand, amen, where I'm at. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand. Even in your everyday struggles, there are things that will cause you want to bend and to give a little bit. And we need to take a stand. Even though we're going to go through the fire, and even though there's going to be consequences for us taking a stand, we still need to take a stand. Praise God. But could you imagine the pressure that these three men were under? Amen. James talks about, in James 1 and 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's not so much the kind of temptations like the temptation, of lust and that, but it's the temptation when somebody comes against you and wants you to denounce your faith or to denounce your relationship with the Lord. It can even go as far as you're on the job and someone, praise God, and you decide that I'm not going to let them know that I'm a Christian because I don't want to stand out or I don't want to be different. As a young man, sometimes I would have done that. But there's some statements in the middle of the situation that I think we ought to take attention to. First of all, in Daniel 3 and 17, he said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. When you have to go through the fire, do you come to the understanding that God is able to deliver me through this? When you get up in the morning, do you come through the understanding that God's able to take me through this? When you're going through a sickness, or you're going through a trial, or you're going through a test. Praise God. Now, the devil would like to tell you, amen, who you are. The devil would like to remind you of your past. Praise God. But the Bible says, your sins and iniquity will I remember no more. So the moment that you are walking with the Lord and the moment you are talking with him, from that moment on, God is able to take at that point and make the best of it. Amen. He can always make it better. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. This guy, amen, had so many people around him telling him how great he was. He had such a big head, he thought he was greater than God. Satan had that problem, and of course he got expelled from heaven. You have to be careful when you have so many people around you telling you how great you are. In the political world, that's horrible. When you have so many people around you telling you the way things are and you don't realize what is actually happening in the country. You have to be careful. Nebuchadnezzar had that problem. Amen. He thought he was God. I'm going to tell you something. When success comes, there is some have to do with what you do. But there's a lot with the fact of how lucky you are or how much you have people around you that help you get there. The success of this church doesn't have to do with me. It has to do with us as a whole. And it has to do mainly with God. See, God brings success. God brings people into power. God raised Pharaoh up like a bowling pin so he could knock him down. God brings the success at all times. Your life is successful because of your actions, but it's more successful because of the luck that you got into, the people around you, and God. And Neb's success was because of all this. But he internalized it and thought it was because he was God. And so he turned to these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said, who can stand up against me? It blows my mind when somebody gets that kind of mentality. But Nebuchadnezzar had that. Amen. He had that kind of mentality. Who can stand up against me? Once again, I said it earlier. Goliath had that with David. You know, they became so successful. I call it like getting drunk on it. You don't think right. Success can make a person drunk. Amen. And they don't think right. But Nebuchadnezzar was just at that point. But look what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tried to bring him down to level. And the God who delivered us is the God we serve. After it was all done, they let him know the God that delivered us, the God that brought us through the fire, is the one that is the God we serve. That's the God we serve, not you, Nebuchadnezzar. So if you want to go through the fire, you better have the right God. You better be with God. And you better know that he is God. Amen. Because Nebuchadnezzar had great pride when he confronted these three Hebrew children with, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Praise God. It's amazing. You know, there was another time in Nebuchadnezzar's life when the king spake and said, look at what his words is. Babylon was a great nation. And one of the things with success, and you don't have to be a great king of a great nation. Sometimes you can be successful in just the small things in life and think, amen, that you are some great thing. But look what he said. Look what his words is. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? How many houses did you build, Neb? How many places did you do? For the houses of the kingdom, but by thy might of my power. It wasn't your might and your power. It was God that built those things. And for thy honor and for thy majesty. Praise God. A false god does not have to be a golden image. If you've got a god that's a false god, praise God, and if you have a god that is not God, not the real true God, because any god of any type that you put before God is your god. Anything that you put before God. If God is not number one in your life, what is your god? And this was a story that a lady in Weirton told me one time. She tried to get her son to live for the Lord, and he said, Mom, he said, my wife is my God. And she turned and laughed, and she said, do you realize that last month his God divorced him? Praise God. But anything you put before God is your God. It could be your job. We struggle every day with our job wanting us to make it God. Finding success in our job. Finding satisfaction in our job. I want to tell you something. I find satisfaction in the Lord, walking with him. My job is the way that I make money. It's not where I find my satisfaction. It's not where I find, praise God, my peace and my satisfaction. Because what the Lord can do is, if he really loves us, the Bible said he chastises us. And so we get so high mighty in our job, and God begins to be concerned for our soul. And so what's he do? He causes situations in our job that knocks our feet out. And we come down to the realization that that job is not important to me. Praise God. It is not my God. A job can do that. Praise God. A person can do that. You can have a person that means more to you than God. If somebody is the reason that you're not living for the Lord, even a hypocrite can be your God. Why aren't you living for the Lord? Well, there's hypocrites in that church. Well, you are putting them before God, so you are actually worshiping them. They're your God. Anything you put before God is your God. Amen. And it doesn't have to be a golden image. And amen, there is a thing that causes us to want to worship them or to put them first. Amen. Praise God. It could be something of pleasure. Pleasures of this world. Things that we enjoy. I can't come and worship God because I've got something that I enjoy more. Something that's more important. Let me ask you something. And this is probably going to hit us. It's going to hit us all. But what is the biggest thing that gets you excited? I hope it's God in church. I hope you get more excited and you get more emotional over God and church than anything else in your life. Praise God. And then last but not least, it's time. I would much rather spend my time doing this than my time with God. Amen. Although, amen, we don't have someone like Nebuchadnezzar over top of us, amen, wanting us to not make God king of our lives, we still have the pressure to put God second in our lives, to not make him second. And the way that you know if God is first is the fact that you put the things of God first. If you struggle being more excited about going to work than you do church, then you need to wonder about that. If you are more excited about going somewhere else than you are to church, you need to really, if you get more emotional over other things than you do church, then you really need to question yourself about, is God really first in my life? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made God first. Others didn't have a problem moving him into second place when it was convenient for them. When it was convenient to go ahead and bow down and worship that image and move on, they didn't mind moving him into the second place. When I get up off these knees, I'll put God back into first place. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, nothing ever takes that place. I love my wife. She's probably the most dearest thing to me, along with my children and grandkids. But I'm telling you, God is always first in my life. And as long as I make God first, she will always be second. But the moment that I do not make God first in my life, then my concepts, fleshly concepts, and my precepts and everything else could put me into the place to where she won't be second. But God is always first in my life. And my wife will tell you, and I respect her for this, and she respects me for this. My wife will tell you that I will always put God first. He needs to be first. And there not be a reason why I move him out of first place and put him into second place. Amen. And although we don't have someone like Nebuchadnezzar, we do have the pressures. You see, you've got to making God your God is putting the things of God first in your life. Let's look at what Jesus, the words of Jesus. I'm just going to have time to read through this. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, or for the world seeks. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God's taking care of you. But what's he say? But seek ye only? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not wrong to have all these other things. But you got to seek him first. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that you need in earth. As long as you put God first. If you're struggling to be taken care of, you need to check yourself and make sure you put God first. We buy insurances for a lot of things. I buy auto insurance in case I'm in an accident. I buy home insurance to take care. I'm telling you, the best insurance plan to make sure that you're taken care of is to put God first. To never move him out of that position. but to put him first. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Praise God. So let's look at the struggle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. First of all, they were not in their own country. We are not in our own country. This world is not our home. Praise God. Sometimes we can feel out of place. Second of all, they stood alone. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to have to stand alone. There'll be times in your life when you're the only one, praise God, that's standing up for the right thing. Amen. Second, third of all, they had a wonderful place in the palace. We can say this world, you know, Jesus, let me go this route. Jesus said unto them, amen, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know why? Because the more earthly possessions you have, the more bogged down you become in becoming, amen, interested in them. And it's harder to let go of them. Amen. And so, amen, they were really in a good place. It would be hard for them. And their decision was going to affect their leaders. That's another thing. Amen. Those that took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego one time said, if we don't give you the king's meat and you're not in good shape, it is our necks that are on the line. And sometimes the way you live for God will affect the people around you. It will affect your kids. It will affect the people around them. So we still struggle with these things. But see, God never promises that he would keep us from going into the trials or into the fire. But he does promise us to give strength to endure. Verse 19, Neb says, then was Neb full of fury. He said, seven times harder, build it. Bind them in their coats, in their hosen, in their hats, in their garments. The fire was so hot that the men that threw them in, it killed them. Nebuchadnezzar said, what? Wait, did we not put three in the fire? And I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire? And having no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Praise God. Think about that. Is like the Son of God. The fourth is like the Son of God. This is Old Testament. What made that come out of his mouth? I'm telling you, God even works through evil people. Remember that. The Son of God. Christ, our salvation, our protection, everything else came through the Son of God, which was Jesus Christ. Praise God. We are protected through him. Amen. We can learn from this lesson. First of all, we can learn that our trials will not last forever. Remember, when you're going through a trial, it's not going to be always. Winter will not always last. Praise God. Amen. If you don't believe me, just ask the groundhogs. Amen. They'll tell you. Praise God. Amen. Trials will not always last. Did you realize that one of our greatest psalms, Psalms 23, y'all know Psalms 23? You probably can quote it, right? Part of that says, though I walk through, walk through, walk through. Sometimes I'd like to run through the valley of shadow death, wouldn't you? But sometimes we got to walk through the valley of shadow death. In other words, we will get through it. Second of all, we can come through trials untouched. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not even have a smell of smoke upon them. Can you imagine that? They walked out. And people would say, I stopped the other day and took a bunch of stuff out to the burning pit and lit it up. And then for the rest of that time, amen, I could smell smoke on me. They didn't even smell like smoke. They came through that fiery furnace without even the smell of smoke. Amen. And you know what's the greatest thing, number three, about trials? Trials will always leave you better in the end. Trials should leave us better in the end. Amen. When they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire, do you know the only thing it hurt was the captors that threw them in and the things that bound them down? Do you think our trial liberates us from the things of this world? Praise God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. And then fourth of all, God does not send us alone into the trial, but he goes with us. It has been said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Praise God. And then I'm just going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to let you go. Amen. Praise God. I didn't know. Tim asked me on the way here. It's like, who's preaching? Me? What are you preaching? I don't know yet, Tim, but I've been talking to God all week about it. I think I found out what I'll be preaching on. I might be preaching on this tonight, unless the Lord changes it. When a judge, praise God, there were two preachers that were brought into the same courts for having a Christian school in their church. When the judge told them that he would not jail them, he said, I will not jail you if ye were to close the school. One of the preachers stood up and told him, he said, amen. He told the judge, he said, I'll close the school. And the judge jailed him. The other preacher stood up and he told him, he said, there is no way that I'm going to close the school. The judge says, okay, you don't have to close it, and told him he could go home. Praise God. Amen. When the people were asked the judge, they said, what are you doing? What is the idea behind this? This is what the judge said. He said, praise God, in his response, he said, amen, the preacher that was willing to close the school had that school out of performance. But the one who was not willing to close the school was doing it out of conviction. And the question that I have to ask you today is, and ask myself, am I living for God out of performance? Am I just living for him because I'm performing? Or is there a conviction down deep inside of why I live for God? Because if it's performance, then when it becomes a place where you can move your God into the second position, that's one thing. But if it's under conviction, it would bother you to make God second in any way. One preacher was living out of performance. The other was living out of conviction. And the judge says, that's the difference in these two preachers. And that's why the one is in prison or jail. And that's why the other one has gone on. Because I have read in his heart. You know, when people look at you, they know if you're living for God out of performance. And they know if you're living for him out of conviction. They know that. And how do they know that? They know that by our actions. They know. Because you see, performance is something you do in front of everybody else. But conviction is something you do when you're by yourself. Because you're performing for others. Or this is the way that I live. Performance is when you profess that something needs to be done. Conviction is something that you do. Praise God. You don't have to be over something to want to do it. You don't have to be over something to try to push it. You do it because you're convicted if you're not. It's my conviction. It's what drives me. It's what I am. Let's all stand. I'm excited about service tonight. Praise God. Let's come early, 6 o'clock prayer, 6:30 service. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing.